Psalms 103. This has always been one of my favorite psalms. We're going to talk about blessed and being blessed. And the song we just sang kind of goes along with that. So let's just begin reading with verse 1, and we'll come back and talk about what this psalm is talking about. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is a psalm of David. And we know David was a man after God's own heart, and he was a man that wrote quite a number of the psalms. All that is within me, bless or praise his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Verse 3, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are higher above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant and those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding his the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. How many of you do that? Amen. Praise God. Most of us, when we think of blessed, we think of God's blessing upon us. His word lets us know that we need to bless him. That's what this is all about. We need to bless him. We need to, as someone said, we need to have an attitude of gratitude to express our appreciation and thanks for what he has done for us. Not only what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. We have a lot of things as Christians, every one of us, we have many, many things to be thankful for. And that's what this psalm is all about, to help us understand and remind us of his benefits. I have a coffee cup at my house that has printed on the side of it, a grateful heart is where it starts. A grateful heart is where it starts. I've never met anyone yet that has accepted the Lord as their Savior and has been born again by His Spirit, has come to know Him, that didn't have a grateful heart. That's one of the first things that happens in my life is that I didn't want to draw near to God. I didn't care about drawing near to God, even though I'd been baptized in the church and had all of them. I had to have religion, all of that, but I didn't live it. And But I didn't really have a grateful heart, because I didn't realize the benefits that he had given to me, and I didn't really want to draw near to him. But after I came to the altar and gave my life to him because I needed to be saved, because I had a need, and I didn't want to go to hell and be separated for eternity from him. And so when he forgave me, he did a, and I was born again by his Spirit, something happened inside of me. And one of the first things that happened is I now wanted to approach him. I wanted to thank him. I didn't know exactly what all had happened. I didn't even realize why it had happened necessarily. I'd heard about the cross. I just came to God and said, God, have mercy on me. If you don't save me, I don't have any hope. And I went from not having any hope and not knowing God and not even wanting caring for him and not even wanting to draw near to him to just the opposite. Amen? Is that what happened to you? Bless the Lord. So, benefits means those things that he's given us. That the benefits that he's given us. All the things that he's done for us. And we can thank him in advance too. All the things, not only the things that he's done for us, but the things that he's going to do for us and is doing for us right now. I'm thankful for that I'm alive right now. Amen. So we bless the Lord. And it's not just supposed to be a blessing where we say, well, thank you, Lord, we bless you. But it says that it's, he gives us a, he says, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. In other words, our blessing should not just be a simple thank you, Lord, or bless you, Lord, but there should be a time in our lives, as even when we go through our daily lives, that we just come and we just want to fall before him and just say, Lord, I just bless you. I just praise you. I just thank you. That's what he's talking about here. It needs to be spoken. It also needs to be lived, like we with our lives, we thank him and appreciate for what he's done. We don't want to do anything to displease him or to hurt him or to grieve his or to quench his Holy Spirit. And so it's an attitude. It's an attitude of gratitude. That's how we live. And so it's everything that is within us. We bless his holy name. That's one of the first things that happens to me, I guess, every morning is I just get to thinking about, well, I've had a good night. This is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in him. And I need his help and thank him for being there. Thank him for being such a wonderful Lord. And I just bless the Lord. And then it helps me to think about, and it'll help all of us, to bless him with all of our heart more if we don't forget all of his benefits. And he just names some here, and I'm going to go over them. So we will be reminded, and hopefully these will stay in our minds so that when we thank him, and start thinking, we can think about all of the ways that he's benefited us, the things that he's done for us and is doing for us and is going to do for us, and then we'll be that much more appreciative and be more filled with thanksgiving as to him and for what he's done for us. So the first thing he says, don't forget all of his benefits. In verse 3, he starts naming these benefits. Amen? And he names all of these things so that we can understand, okay, who forgives all of your iniquities? And somebody say amen? Not just every now and then and once and one or two of them, but he forgives all of our iniquities. In other words, we have complete and total forgiveness. All if the Bible says if we confess our sins in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of our iniquities. Sometimes the accuser of the brethren, Satan, he can't go before God's throne, thank God, anymore like he could in Job's days, and accuse us and say, have you considered my servant Job? He could have if God hadn't have done something about it through his precious son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have said, and he wouldn't have said this of me, I don't think so much, because I wasn't like Job. Are you with me? I was pretty much a failure. So he probably, but after I become a Christian, he could say, have you considered my servant Lewis Cowan, even though I haven't been a perfect servant? And then the enemy could say, well, just let me have him. And we'll see how much he blesses you and how much he thanks you and how much he decides that you're a good God and so on. So we need to understand, first of all, that there's a verse down here, verse 17. I want to remind you of this, first of all, because while Jesus, don't misunderstand me here, the gift, for God so loved the world that he gave us all of these benefits. The means or the avenue or the door or the way, like Jesus said when he was here, I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the door. I am the bread of life, and so on. The Bible says there is no other name other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So now all we have, all of these benefits, it fits here because it says in verse 17, on those who fear him, and verse 18, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. So we have, it's not that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. That's not the issue. If we're going to continue to enjoy his blessing in his presence, and when I say that, either I need to qualify because he says, I don't mean that he'll forsake us and leave us alone, but it appears that he has, because once we deliberately do something that's wrong and we do something that we know we're not supposed to do, unless we ask forgiveness for that, then we lose the joy of his presence in our lives. You with me? It doesn't mean that he's left us. It just means that we lose the joy of our salvation. We cannot, as Christians, if we live like we used to live before we become Christians, because if to do so means that we don't enjoy, like Peter says, those that lacks these things, if you don't add to your faith virtue and virtue, love and brotherly kindness and all of these things, he says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Amen? So, it just means that we are not, if we don't do the things that we're supposed to do, and to have an awe, and here it says in verse 17, on those who fear him, and to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. It's not that we do those in order to be saved. We do those in order to remain in fellowship with him and enjoy the fullness of his blessings in our lives. And because if we lack these things and we don't do these things, then we don't. A person that doesn't, like Peter says, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1, he that lacketh these things is blind, or check chapter 2, I can't remember which one. I didn't write it down. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and is forgotten that he was purged from his sins. Are you with me? So that's why we need to understand that if we have sinned, if we do sin, and we all sin and come short of the glory of God, even after we're Christians, we can get in the flesh. Are you with me? The Bible teaches on this in Galatians and Romans and several places that if as Christians we have now, before we couldn't get out of the flesh. That's the only way we knew how to live. But now that we've become Christians and we've been born again, we have a spiritual growth and a spiritual development so that we can walk in the Spirit and resist the devil, and he'll flee from us and draw nigh to God, and he draws nigh to us. Amen? And we can walk in the Spirit, and that's what he tells us in Romans 6, 7, and 8. Walk in the Spirit. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, Ephesians tells us. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. That's something we have to do. And if we don't do that, then we lose our fellowship with him. And sometimes we wonder, well, am I saved or not? Right? That's what the Bible teaches. So we need, all he's telling us all of this, things that he says, forget not all of his benefits. So the first thing that we need to remind ourselves of here, he says in verse 3, is he forgives all of our iniquities. But we have to ask him. Amen? He died for the sins of the whole world, but unless a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ and that gift of God that God did through his precious Son take all of our sins away, if you don't receive that, then it doesn't benefit you any. That's why in churches and in Christian places we invite people to receive God's gift, receive God's love, receive God's Son, and ask him to forgive you. Amen? And he says he's already done that for you, but we need to receive it. And then, in order to continue in that blessedness, and so that we can bless him, we need to understand he forgives all of our iniquities. We also need to understand he heals all of our diseases. What it does mean when it says he heals all of our diseases, it means that if we do get ill, or if we do get sick, or we are feeling bad, we can ask him, he will heal. He's healed. He's purchased our healing, our salvation, forgiven us all of our iniquities, brought us into his family and made us one of his children, or his children. We're children of God by, we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what the Bible says? So we have all of these blessings. But if we do, he's not telling us we're not going to have some diseases. He says he heals all your diseases. He can't heal you from something if you don't have it. Are you with me? Don't say you're not going to ever be sick or not feel bad. You can do that, and we can trust him that he can keep us well. Amen? I'm not saying that. But when the enemy comes and tries to put things on you or on us, as far as our health is concerned, we can always say, Lord, this is the day that you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in you. Amen? And sometimes if the enemy's trying to put something on me, I just say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. If I can find it in my Bible, it seems like it may have disappeared from there too. Romans chapter 8. For the law, this is what we can say. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and of death. Amen? And if the Spirit of him, we're not, and we can go on and quote some other verses in that chapter, which like one says, we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Amen? If so be the Spirit of God dwells in us. Amen? We can quote that. And it also says, if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in us, amen? What does it say? Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in us. He'll also quicken, make alive our mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in us. Amen? I quote those verses quite a bit. We need to speak the Word of God because the Word of God is our shield of faith. It's also the sword of the Spirit. Well, that's how we do spiritual warfare. So don't forget all of his benefits. One of the first ones is he forgives all of our iniquities. Can somebody praise God? He heals all of our diseases. Can somebody praise God? And then verse 4, he redeems our life from destruction. In other words, we don't have to worry about spending a life totally separated and being destroyed. He takes care of us. He protects us. Amen. He's translated us out from the kingdom and power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we're free from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Can somebody say amen to that? We have his loving kindness. We also have his tender mercies. But not only does that, he takes care of our physical needs, because it says here, verse 5, he satisfies your mouth with good things. You can look at me and see that I'm a full gospel preacher. Let me tell you that for sure. So he satisfies our mouth with good things, and so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen? I'm still going strong. I can't, like I told somebody the other day, I said, well, you look pretty young for your age. I said, well, I am, but I can't climb ladders and jump over fences and run a 440 or 100-yard dash anymore. But I am strong. I am doing well, thank God. For an 84-year-old, I'm doing really well because of what this says right here. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't believe you have to get down and get dysfunctional. I believe just the opposite. He renews my strength like the eagles. Amen? We need to know this. That's why he's telling us, don't forget all of his benefits. Amen? Confess them. The Lord executes righteousness. It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. I don't stand in the presence of God on the basis of my righteousness. I stand before God the Father, and hears and answers my prayers and supplies all my needs because of the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But of him, the Bible says, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made into us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I think that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. He is our righteousness. He's gracious and merciful to us. He's our justice. He has justice for all who are oppressed. Is the enemy trying to fill you with guilt and fear and condemnation? Well, then look to the Lord. He executes righteousness for you, and he has justice for you. He took our sins in his body on the cross. Amen? And therefore, we are justified. Therefore, the Bible says in Romans, therefore, being justified by faith, I have to believe that I'm justified by faith, so do you. Amen? Romans chapter whatever verse that is, my mind's, the enemy's trying to give me a problem this morning. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? So, we have justice, we have righteousness. The Lord, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He wants you to remember that the Lord is always merciful. Amen? He will always have mercy on us. Amen? And he's slow to anger. Amen? He doesn't get mad at us every time we turn around. In fact, he puts up with us with a lot of things. And said, you shouldn't be doing that, and if you don't straighten up, I'm going to take you to the woodshed. Amen? So he's slow to anger, and he's abounding in mercy. Verse 8. Verse 9, he won't always strive with us. He'll correct us and tell us when we're wrong and try to get us going in the right direction, and he won't keep his anger, nor will he keep his anger forever. Can somebody say amen to that? The enemy tries to lie to us, said, God's angry with you and he'll never forgive you. Amen. Well, that's just the complete opposite of what God's word says, right? We're talking about his benefits here. Amen. His blessings, what he's done for us, and what we need to be thankful for. He has not dealt, verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. Amen. If he did, there wouldn't be any of us having any salvation or having his blessings. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. Can somebody say amen? These are the benefits. Verse 11, for as the heavens are higher above the earth. How high is that? Well, the last time I heard, they sent some outer space vehicle out there and it went past Mars, and I don't know where it is now. Well, they sent one to the sun. I think it probably burned up before it got, I think. The heavens are higher above the earth, so great. You want to know how great his mercy is. So great is his mercy towards those who fear him. And fear here doesn't mean we fear the Lord in the sense that we don't want to come into his presence. Fear here means I stand in awe of my God. I stand in awe of my Heavenly Father. I realize he is, if it wasn't for his precious Son and his blood and his Holy Spirit, I would not be able to come into the presence of God. But because of what he's done, I can. And so he's reminding us. He wants us to be mindful of this. His mercy is great towards us, to those of us who stand in awe of him. And as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions from us. And as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Verse 13. Amen. If any of us have had children, sometimes we look at them and they're 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 or whatever age they are, and they're doing things that we don't want them to do and we've told them not to do. Do you have mercy on them, or do you beat them to death? Amen. You have understanding. Amen. Sometimes you want to beat them to death, right? I raised 3, so I know what that feels like sometimes, but also I had pity on them too, because probably they didn't fear me like they ought to, but sometimes when I got through with them, they feared me, let me tell you. Amen. My daughter's in full agreement with that. Verse 13, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He pities his children. He knows our frame. He knows all about us. He remembers that we are dust. We need to remember that too, but when he knows the very thoughts. Do you know he knows the very thoughts that go through our minds? Amen. That's why the Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it also says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let that mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to do. And that comes along with the fact that we understand he knows everything, and we realize that our lives are short. Verse 15, as for a man, his days are like the grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. We need to realize that our lives are temporary, even if we live to be 110 or however long we live. That's a very short period of time. That would be like, that'd be just like that in comparison to eternity. Amen. We're not living here for just now. We're living as God's children. Death is not the end. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. We slip out of these bodies, it goes back to the dust. Our spirits, we're living in this body. I told somebody the other day, we're living in this body. The body, the Bible tells us that this body is just like a tent. It's a temporary dwelling place while we're here on earth so people can see us. And we're living in this body and we're looking out these two windows called eyes. I can stand in my house and look out outside of my windows and I can see outside. I realize that I'm not the house. I realize that I'm in the house. And so those of us that need to understand that we're spirit beings, created in the likeness, the image of God. God is a spirit, and they have to, that way he told them, Jesus told the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, and the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So, we live in these physical bodies, and we look out these two windows we call eyes. And we're aware of the fact that we're not a body, we're somebody living in this thing. Are you with me? Not everybody needs to, not everybody understands that, but they need to understand that and realize that. Because this, when this body goes away, that doesn't mean you go, you leave the body and you stand before God and you're going to be, you're an eternal spiritual being and you're going to live in eternity with God or without Him. And it's your choice. And that's why He put us here, so we could make that choice. Amen? As far as our physical bodies are concerned, verse 15, it's like grass, a flower of the field. It goes for a little while, and verse 16, when the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place is remembered no more. But the mercy of the Lord, verse 17, is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him and His righteousness to children's children. I'm so glad for that. I've had to remind the Lord sometimes when my children weren't acting right because they were chips off the old block and they were growing up. Now, Rachel, that's enough of that. You don't have to agree with me on everything. It was always wonderful to know that I could say, my children are going to be saved, will be saved, because His righteousness extends to a believer's children, to our children's children. Amen? And if you have children, and some of them are teenagers or older than that, and they're going through things, you don't think they've been saved as yet, just hang in there. God's promise is, through this word, His righteousness is to children's children. Amen? And we need to claim that too. He's given us His benefits here. He's telling us, amen? Praise God. And His righteousness to children's children, verse 18, to such as keep His covenant and do those and to those who remember His commandments to do them. So if we're walking with Him and trusting Him, we can depend on God to deal with our children. Amen? The Lord, verse 19, has established His throne in heaven and His kingdom rules over all. Satan may be the god of this world, but he's no longer the ruler. God's the ruler. And God's the ruler over His kingdom. He rules over everything. Verse 20, He knows what's going on. Bless the Lord, you His angels. And though He's talking that God has sent angels. He said to the Lord, and He said in His word, He will give His angels charge over you, and they will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. So, I believe everybody has an angel, or maybe more. Some of us need more than one. If you're like me, I probably need a bunch of them. But His angels excel in strength and who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Verse 21, bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. So to those that we thank God, all of us are ministers to some degree because God's in us, and He's and Jesus is in us, and the Holy Spirit's in us, and they all love, and their love passes our understanding, as we were singing about this morning. That's why I have Mary doing that, because she knows when the Lord leads you to pick out the right songs. Amen. He knows what, even though she don't know. I don't tell her what I'm going to preach on. God, the Spirit directs us all. Amen. So, we need to be thankful also and for His ministers and those who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works. In all places of His dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. No matter where we are, we have His benefits, which He's given us, and all things that He has, and all the things that He's done for us. We need to bless Him and to be thankful, and don't ever forget, praise Him and to be thankful for everything, and we can do that as we go through our day. Amen? Let's everybody stand. Thank you for being here. God's blessings upon all of us. He has blessed us. Brother Mark, would you dismiss us, please?